I just feel like it's been so long since we posted something.
It's been a month and a half.
Yeah. We should just hop in.
Hey guys, it's Carlos.
And Pat.
And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we haven't posted in a while.
Yeah. It's been what, a month and a half?
About a month and a half, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to talk about. What do we...
I don't know how to start. I think the hardest part of this is going to be starting.
Yeah, I don't even know how to start.
And I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, let's just start rolling.
Yeah.
Figure out a good place to jump in. But to me, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that we're not continuing forward how things were done the past couple seasons of the show.
Yeah, but that's only obvious to the people on social media.
That's true. If you're just listening to this, this is probably coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think, yeah, the majority of people that listen to the show might not follow us closely on social media. Do we leave that in?
I think so. Again, yeah. I think a lot of this, we just confirming our instincts to one another.
So... if you are listening to this and you don't follow us very closely on social media, the show has
been a bit derailed.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the show. I think the game has.
Yeah. That's a great way.
Yeah. I think that campaign is kind of done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, if you don't follow us on social in any way, I'm sure this is coming out of nowhere. But it's hard to maintain a campaign with a group of friends over a long period of time.
Yeah. And I think I think people listening to this know that, though. Like, I think it's very, these people who are listening to this show play D&D.
Right. Yeah.
They know what it's like to, like, have a campaign that's going on over 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, that puts out an episode every week.
What a gift it was to have a campaign last.
It was great. Most people do not get that.
Right.
Like, this is the longest campaign I've ever been a part of. Like, nothing. You have yours is
your family. Mine's my family.
Yeah, yours is your family.
It's a little different. I go home.
Yeah, exactly.
I see them. Yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, for me, this is the longest campaign I've ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So it does feel, I know this is something that happens to a lot of people. Campaigns end.
Mm-hmm.
They end without an ending.
Without fanfare, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels really weird. It feels weird for me I imagine it feels really weird for you. I'm an editor on this show, so I'm constantly editing, trying to get the best story out of our performances. And then when the performances stop, I feel like I didn't do enough, you know? Like, I feel like I need to do more. And at a certain point, I had to tell myself, like, no, this is a game.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fun game that we're playing. And it just, for anyone trying to fill in the blanks, we had some issues at the table.
Yeah. I wrote, obviously, an ending to this season. I had a plan, but, you know, I think, as most DMs know, a lot of the stuff you write ends up going into a pile that you set to the side, and maybe we'll visit later at some point. And I think the rest of this season is in that pile at this point because of basically not the show, not the game, but what happened at the table?
Yeah. And outside the table.
Well, yeah.
Not so much at the table.
Yeah.
It was what was happening outside of the table. We had issues with...
I mean, this is really hard to bring up, but really, we had issues with somebody. I mean,
yeah.
Let's be real. It was like a knife got stabbed right in the middle of our game. Not by Rot.
yeah.
I can't help but joke.
Yeah, I know.
I hate tension and
stuff
so much.
So
this conversation is actually really hard to have.
It's very awkward.
And also probably why it's taken us this long
to
actually do this recording. But frankly, it was like a bomb got thrown into the middle of our group and exploded. And we, it was very hard to manage and deal with.
And I think it wasn't anything that was one event. It was the culmination of a bunch of events over the course of months that just got, for me personally, got worse and worse to the point where, you know, I had to say no. I had to say, no, I'm sorry. I need to take a step back from this relationship, this friendship. And it wasn't as when I did that, when I asked for space or whatnot, it was not taken very well. And that's when the bomb kind of went off.
Yeah, totally.
I think there's a lot of things that I could have done to keep this table going, but none of which would have an ending where I would be happy.
Yeah, and dude, here's the thing. We're playing D&D.
I know.
We're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
It's a board game.
It's a game. I love this game.
I love it too.
I love it.
I love it too.
And we've been playing it for years together.
Yes. And for people that have that love this hobby, like we love this hobby, it's hard. It's hard to stop, to end it, to end this campaign. And it's a great creative outlet that I have and a way to hang out with friends and, you know, play this game and, you know, be creative. But man, at the end of the day, if you're unhappy playing this game, just stop.
Yes.
There's a million other games.
Hold on. Wait.
I mean, there's a million other tables.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
There's a million other tables.
We can keep playing D&D.
Yeah, we're going to keep playing D&D, Patrick. We don't stop playing D&D. You know what I mean? And that's your prerogative, too. Like, it's so funny because I have seen, you know, I've been in this D&D community and you read people's posts and blogs and, you know, their tweets and status updates and stuff and just problems that they have at the table and problems that they have outside the table and how it affects the table and stuff like that. And I always thought, man, I'm lucky that's not me. But it's me.
Yeah.
It's us. It was everyone, you know, it was everyone at that table felt something. And we tried carrying on.
We did. We did a recording. Anybody on our Patreon knows that I did reach out for additional, you know, monsters, plot twists, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there is a recording session that does exist using those things.
Yeah.
But you could feel it then. You could feel it afterwards. Because of what had happened, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our like passion wasn't really in it.
Yeah.
Not in the same way, at least. It kind of felt like we were punching a clock to do a podcast.
That's what I was about to say. It felt like a roll call for me. It felt like, okay, well, I have to do this Dungeon Rants game.
Yeah.
Instead of like every other time I've been at that table, it felt like, yeah, what's Pat got planned? Like, yeah, what are we doing? Like, this is going to be awesome. Like, oh, I got to set up the equipment fast so we can start playing. You know what I mean? Because I want to play. This time it felt like, I don't know.
And here's another weird thing is we hadn't recorded since February, but just because of life stuff, you know? So a lot of time had gone by between
Like six months,
yeah. Between those recording sessions. And the issue that we generally talked about earlier really came to a head during that time period in between. So it does feel, if you're a listener, I can understand, it feels like we were all on point, having fun, enjoying doing this game together to what we're talking about now. It feels very disorienting.
Yeah.
It feels that way to me, and I got to experience all of it.
Yeah, the episode you just listened to was probably recorded 7 months ago.
Yeah. I had a baby.
Yeah, you had a baby.
I had a baby. I mean, I'll take that blame. I'll blame baby Logan.
And that's the person that we're talking about in this situation. No.
No, but we got a bunch in knowing that I was going to have a kid.
Yes.
And knowing that there would be some time before I could get my feet back under me, write a good adventure, be able to record, step away from the family for a day. Basically, every recording takes, you know, about half a day. It took about 6 months.
Yeah. And we knew that. We knew going in.
So we planned for that. And that's why there was such a big gap that we normally don't have between recording sessions.
Yeah. And in that gap, in that 6 months, something, how do you even explain it? Specifically for me and for Patrick, and I mean, I don't want to speak for her, but also Serena, to a certain extent, experienced some, how would you say it?
Man, the word is really hard for me to dig up. But it was a constant attack on my integrity, on my desire to be a good friend, on how dare my new life get in the way of somebody else's hopes. And when I was actively doing things, everything I would do would be wrong. So it was this kind of constant...
It was bullying.
Bullying.
Nicest word is bullying.
Yeah.
I think that's the nicest thing, how it can be said, is this constant bullying. And also not knowing what type of person you were going to get. I found myself being quiet a lot, like, around this, and just not saying my thoughts, because I didn't know if it was, you know, going to be anger or what, or, you know, what direction it was going to go, which way it was going to go. While this is happening though, I will say this for me, I imagine you probably as well. This is 6 months of, you know, not seeing the table also. I did a bad job in communicating what was going on with me, and left people in the dark. That happens, because I honestly didn't even know what was happening, because something like this happens very slowly. So slowly that you're just making these little conceits little by little. And then over a certain amount of time, it's just like, oh my God, why am I miserable? And while that is happening, I did stop checking in with the table. I did stop checking in with people.
Yeah, we didn't hang out. I mean, I think... between everybody. I mean, that's everybody's fault, really.
For sure.
I think for us is, you know, for lack of a better way of looking at it, the creators of this show, we should have been a little more attentive to the fact that we hadn't hung out in a while, just to like hang out and shoot the shit. But same time, there was this like energy constantly being drained from us.
Yeah.
And that makes it hard to focus on the broader picture.
Yeah. And my headspace was like, at least I don't have that problem over there. At least I don't have a problem with everyone else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought I can go back to the table and everything would be fine because it hadn't affected the other people. But I was completely wrong. Like, it had affected other people. Me not saying things affected other people, you know?
I think a lot of internalization happened.
Yeah.
I mean, between all of us, where...
For sure.
It's hard to understand when there's something like that going on, when there's a bully, somebody who is participating in abusive behavior, it's easy to just get really self-focused and internalize everything and wonder where you're making mistakes, whether or not you're good enough.
Yeah, and the bully makes it in a way that you can't say it out loud because it is being... gaslighting is happening.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember one time, like, I don't want to get into specifics.
Yeah.
Anyways, gaslighting is happening. So there's this constant fear that no one is going to believe you. That's what happens.
Well, and then if you bring up any individual thing, you sound like you're being petty.
You sound like you're being crazy. Like, you just sound like, oh, you're blowing this out. But then when you sum it all up, when you see every single thing, when it's happening every other day, and you're just miserable, you just have to stop. And that's okay to stop. Like, anyone who's listening to this, anyone that's ever been in a bad relationship or a friendship or whatever, you can stop at any time and you can just say no. And if you stopping and saying no makes the situation a million times worse, then you made the right call, right? Like, you made the right call. If you by protecting yourself and saying like, no, I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to feel this way any longer. No.
Yeah.
And the person tries to bully you into staying and to doing more. Like, you just need to go. You just need to leave at all costs. Just stop. Try to, you know, take yourself out of that equation.
And that's one of the things I love about Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Is it's a common thing that I can have with people, strangers, friends, people that I haven't even got to meet yet.
Yeah.
So you can still participate in the hobby and not be surrounding yourself with somebody who makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
You don't role play to feel bad. You role play to escape, to enjoy life. The world, the real world, is hard enough. You don't want to be sitting at a table with people who make it that much harder. And again, make you doubt your choices and doubt your sense of self. It's not good.
Also, with this relationship that is also tied to one of your creative projects and your creative outlets. So now you're worried, now you're thinking like, oh, well, this person wants to... Like, well, then I can't have my creative project anymore. That's what you think. You think, well, I can't have my creative project
anymore. That's what they
want. That's what they want you to think.
Yeah. That's a controlling thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways.
Yeah.
Long story short. We had to end that campaign.
Yeah.
Abruptly. It ends with, you know, Rot's keep.
Yeah, basically. Rot's arrival.
Yeah, Rot's arrival.
Which, to tell you guys, minor bad guy.
Minor bad guy.
Yeah. He was meant to be the, you know, the first big bad. Have you ever played Streets of Rage?
Yeah, I have, actually.
When you play that first bad guy in the last level.
Oh, wait. What's the first bad guy from, like, Dragon Ball Z before Frieza shows up? What's that guy? Because that's what I was thinking of.
Oh, my God. You're kind of... It's almost Vegeta.
Is it?
Yeah. When Vegeta first shows up?
It's like six guys that like show up on like the whatever. But there's like one guy that you think is like the big bad the entire time, but it turns out to be free. Anyways, guys.
Or it's kind of like, when you're in the Cell Saga, when the androids show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, it's just like that.
Kind of though, because he was quite a force to reckon with, but he was just the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm a little disappointed because I had some really fun plot twists.
Yeah. You had some big stuff.
I know. I did.
Yeah, you did. It was great. Anyways, that's Patrick. That's done with.
I know.
That campaign, it's ended. Sometimes campaigns end and they end without you wrapping everything up in a nice, neat bow. And that is fine. We set out to play. I remember when we started the show, we set out to play a Dungeons and Dragons game. You had told me, I'm not going to pull punches. If you guys die, you die. It's a real game. I don't care if it's a show or what have you. If it's a TPK, it's a TPK. We do not take it back. We do not reroll. We do not do it for them. In that respect, we played the truest Dungeons and Dragons game of all time.
The one that never ended.
The one that never ended. Exactly.
Yeah, it's so true.
That is the truest Dungeons and Dragons game. Guys, you should be very, you should, we M. Night Shyamalan you'd with that twist. You didn't see it coming.
Yeah, it's so true.
You know, we foreshadowed it in the beginning saying we were going to play the truest Dungeons and Dragons game, and we did. You all got six cents. Anyway,
I mean, I do think there's something romantic about that, right?
There is something. I mean, we were trying to
as
portray.
I told you, I was never. That's my biggest beef with a lot of podcasts out there. It's like, oh well, everybody loves Gilf so much, Gilf can never die. And I told you guys at the beginning of every session,
exactly,
Gilf could die. I don't have any problem letting Gilf die if Gilf makes bad choices and gets bad roles. Gilf's dead because it is all Dungeons and Dragons. It's all fantasy.
Yeah.
And it drives story in a really interesting way to know that there's risk. And I think, you know, it drives story in an interesting way to know that It can end if our players aren't happy.
Yeah.
We have to like each other. That was always the point too. We liked each other.
Yeah.
And when you're not liking each other anymore, for whatever reason, you can't pretend to sit around a table and roll dice and be like into this thing. It just seems like so fake. And you know this, Carlos. I really, really wanted a final recording.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I was pushing for it so hard. And then
I don't think you were really pushing for it as much as you were hoping for it.
I was hoping for it.
Yeah, you were hoping for it.
In my mind, I was pushing for it. But
your actions, we left it up to everyone.
We
know? We left it up to everyone at the table. And we didn't want to push anything. I think everyone at that table is professional enough to show up and do it if they wanted to do it. But I didn't want that. Patrick, you didn't want that.
No, after the recording session we did.
Yeah.
When you just knew it didn't feel real anymore. I didn't want it then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, me neither. It was, you know, I think everyone is super talented and we could have pushed through and done a thing, but you guys don't want to listen. You don't want to listen to that.
No.
You don't want to listen to
us sitting there being passive aggressive to one another.
Yeah. Or stuff that maybe you won't ever notice, but like we would notice.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So like no one wants that. You don't want that. We don't want that. So we ended the game.
Yep.
And it weighed so much on me, but when it was finally done,
yeah,
I was
sure.
like, oh yeah, I could play Dungeons and Dragons at any time with anyone I want. That's cool. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
And you're setting up another campaign, a new a new world.
And the thing that all y'all judged me for was the start of the podcast, clean slate, baby. Yeah. So I'm feeling really good about that.
We did get some heat on that.
A lot of heat.
Start.
We kind of deserve it. I wasn't really sure how to start it. I started a new idea and campaign at the beginning of the podcast, but if you think about the way I set it up as the DM, I like alluded to all the stuff that happened in the past, which totally, to the listeners' credit who judged us, makes it seem like you missed a lot.
Yeah, that's all right.
I was just trying to paint the world as like this big thing that they've dealt with. But now, clean slate. It's
clean
all fresh.
Clean slate, yeah.
The players haven't played in the world at all. There's no concepts yet of like an endless dungeon or whatever. There's nothing grounding.
Wait, is there
it
an
yet.
Endless dungeon? Is there an endless dungeon? Is there?
No.
You haven't told me anything about this.
Well, you know, there's a thing.
Okay.
There's a way for our listeners to submit their monsters, plot twists, and anything else they can think of.
That's so funny. It's so funny because sometimes Serena will go, we'll be walking somewhere just like in silence for like a long time. Like we'll, go down the block to a restaurant or something and it'll be quiet. And then I'll just hear from her in a low voice. Gifted with a keen eye. Like, she'll do a really bad GILF impression because like those intros like are really in her head.
Yeah.
Are we doing the new intros? Because like I kind of want to do, I don't know if I want to do it, but I kind of want to do it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah. We really have to think about how we want to bring the new campaign together and get it out there.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of changes coming.
Oh, for sure. I mean, okay. So if you're listening to this, if you made it this far, there's a new season coming through. We're going to make some changes. It's going to be a new campaign, some new people, some old people. I myself will be in it. Patrick will be in it. The DM again.
Yeah.
Serena will be in it.
Your hero.
Your hero.
I was still talking about myself.
Yeah. Okay. Alex Richman will be in it.
Yes.
And my friend Lucas, who you guys haven't met yet, but Lucas is insane Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, he's
a
ringer. You know my POV on this, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I don't know your POV.
Oh,
on this.
You always have to have in a podcast or at a table, you always have to have people who are relatively new and then your ringer. You have to have that person who knows the game better than the DM.
Oh, my God.
And that's Lucas.
He is so intimidating how much he knows.
Oh, yeah. But it's perfect because he's going to drive the gameplay in directions that I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, you can do that. Do it.
Lucas,
do it.
I think he has like 3 campaigns going on right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like 3 right now. One is a homebrewed world that he like has himself. Anyways, that's
I'm
Lucas.
Not jealous of his life at all.
I mean, it's pretty great. But I mean, I'm super excited for that. This is what we're shooting for. Can I tell them what we're going to be shooting for?
Why not?
I don't know. We've come this far.
Yeah, who cares?
Okay.
This is the most vulnerable we've been.
Dude. I know. Seriously, we had to have 3 beers before we even started this.
We have a hard time talking about this stuff.
Talking about feelings in general, I feel like is very hard, very trying for you and me.
I just want to make jokes about my feelings. Can you tell? Like, I'm over here. I'm feeling very sad and I'm smiling, trying to think of like punchlines.
You're smiling. You're wearing a hat backwards, which I've never seen you wear a hat backwards.
Oh yeah. I flipped it around and it felt so awkward.
I've never seen you do that before.
I don't really do that. I think guys over their 30s
should never wear a hat.
Yeah, no.
You know what I think? I think guys over 30 should only wear hats for reasons. No fashion hats. No fashion. It should be blocking out sun. It should be protecting your head. It should have a visor. It should be doing something. Yeah, I know. I'm so old.
Well, okay. So wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm over 30.
Yeah.
I got a hat on. It's night.
Yeah.
Are you judging me?
Oh, kind of. You're actually indoors too.
I am indoors. But you want to know why?
I'm gonna give you the caveat to that. You wore the hat when you needed it. So during the day. And it messed up your hair. So yes. Now you have to continue. So now it still has a use.
Yeah, I'm pot committed.
Yeah, exactly.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah, but if you woke up and your hair was fine and then you put a hat on, that doesn't count. Your hair was fine. You can cover it up.
All right, I'm just happy I fall into your hat criteria.
This is the new podcast, guys.
Patent hats.
It's called Pat Hats. Every day we
when
talk
is
about
it appropriate for me to wear a hat?
Every day we talk to Pat about his hat.
I just wear them because my hair's
dude, no one cares
up.
Why you wear hats. It was a bit.
No, I'm going to get into it. That's the podcast now. Are you telling me I wrote 30 pages on my hats?
My hat
that's
content.
Not what we're talking about?
Yeah, my D&D hat content.
Crit success. So, oh, yeah. That's a sweet hat.
So we have a new campaign coming out. So this is what we're shooting for. This is our something that will be changing will be frequency.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to put out an episode either 3 or 4 a month. We're going to try to Twitch stream once or twice a month. That'll be the content that we get for the podcast. So if you watch Twitch, great. Tune in, watch us play. You'll actually see the campaign before it hits the podcast stream. If you don't like Twitch or don't know what it is, Twitch is a streaming site where you can stream videos and play games on. If Twitch isn't your thing, great. The podcast will be more frequent. The downside to that, though, will be it'll have probably a little bit less production to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if people will really notice that much. I'll notice because I was writing original music for every episode, and now I'm just going to take that original music that I used before and just use that again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use sound effects for like the big stuff, but probably not for like the individual stuff. I probably won't use it there.
And a big driver of this is that the burden of editing has been pretty big.
So guys, if these episodes take me anywhere between 25 to like 30 hours, and that's conservative numbers. Yeah. Some episodes take me way longer.
And even in the last batch, I had helped out.
Oh, yeah.
Still 20 hours on your plate.
Still takes a long time. I mean, the reason we released only 2 a month is because it takes that many weeks to build that up. And that's fine. But I want to release more episodes to you because I love it when you have that episode on your app, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it comes through every week.
Sure.
I want people to want that and not think about us twice a month. If they can think about us every week, if we're a weekly thing, that's awesome, right?
Yeah, especially if we're streaming it too. I think if you could have accessed it, if you would have watched live, it's like we need to get those episodes out faster. If we couldn't like batch record like we did before.
Exactly.
Where it's like some people would have seen something that happened 2 months earlier. It just gets weird.
Yeah, and I think so. Moving forward, we're going to stream the episodes, maybe not the first episode because we're actually going to do that very quickly.
We're going to do an episode 0 kind of thing.
The episode zero thing that we'll record it. It'll probably only be for Patreon though. Moving forward though, after that, we're going to try to Twitch stream all the episodes. So you can catch it live when it happens. After that, it's going to go right up on the Patreon. So if you, you know, donate to the Patreon, you can see the behind the scenes videos. You can see the Twitch videos. You can see everything. You can submit stuff. The t-shirt. I made a new t-shirt design. That's going to go up as soon as this new season starts too. I want you guys to see it. I kind of want to tell them what it is, but I can't. I probably shouldn't.
Not here. Let's save some gunpowder.
So when the new episode comes out, I've saved some gunpowder. When the new episode comes out, I will announce.
Let's lengthen
the new
that
t-shirt.
Wick.
It's an awesome t-shirt though. It's really cool.
It's great. I love it.
I love it. And it doesn't even say Dungeon Rats on it. Mm-mm. I don't think.
When you're as punk rock as I am, you know it's awesome.
Yeah, it's super punk. But I don't know. Anything else?
Yeah. I think one more thing from my side is we are going to restructure the Patreon a bit.
Oh, yeah.
As a result of all of this.
Yeah.
I know there's been people who've donated to the Patreon who might wonder what's going on as far as games and stuff being released. It's got to get restructured.
I think so, too. I think, and we'll talk about it with Patreon. I don't think we've made any final decisions yet. We'll figure it out though.
Yeah. Just know that that's coming.
Yeah.
That we're thinking about addressing Patreon. Some of the stuff that proved to be a lot harder to do than we thought it would be.
I think we were very ambitious. Yeah. I think we were very ambitious. And I think that came from the fact that we just wanted to do more. But I think when push came to shove, we just didn't have the manpower between the two of us to do it all. Mm-mm. Like you and I, you know, full time jobs, you have a baby, and, you know, I have the new Spider-Man on PS4.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
I have other things
in
my
life. You have your hair to take care of.
I have my hair, which
I got. You don't wear hats like I do.
Yeah, I do wear hats. I have one hat over there. Anyways.
Just
That I stole from Mark Hunu. We should have Hunu on the show. He's great. Anyways. The Patreon will probably be restructured in a way that gives more and is more manageable.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
Yeah, I think we spread ourselves a little thin with that, and a lot of that is just because it was just me and you doing it. Like we handled it all. Everything else was volunteer, but Patrick and I handled Patreon ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's it. Is there anything we didn't talk about that we should as we kind of brace ourselves for this new world?
I don't know. I feel like we can talk about anything we want right now. Like we have our.
If you're still listening, then you're.
Yeah.
In it.
Can I
ask you a question?
Yeah. What's up?
I see Mouse Guard up there.
Serena just got it.
Yeah, it's still in its packaging.
Yeah.
Great game.
She really?
Yes.
She hasn't played it yet. She loves the artwork. She loves everything about it. Like she.
Great game.
After we left Gen Con, she was just like, "I want to buy it. I need to get it." And I was like, "Oh." Yeah, we still haven't opened that up.
Mm-mm. Well, I'm just saying. I've been in your house many times.
Yeah.
Have not seen Mouse Guard out.
Oh, yeah.
I see it now. Love that game. I'm not fishing for an invite for whenever.
No.
You know, you have friends
some Mouse
over
Guard.
To play.
Yeah.
But I'm down and I'll bring Logan. It's a very appropriate game for her to learn on.
Yeah, I got.
You know, for my 5-month-old baby to learn on.
Mouse Guard. I got the Home Alone board game. I got this game called Visitor, which deals
Wait,
with.
What's that?
Home Alone?
No, I know what Home Alone is.
Home Alone's a movie.
I know. I saw
Macaulay Culkin.
I saw it and all of its sequels.
Well, Joe Pesci's in it, so you should check it out. Joking.
Also, that guy from Bushwhacked.
Wow, that is a deep cut. Deep cut. Anyways.
That's how my brain works.
This game called Visitor, which has to do with like time and stuff.
That and sounds really exciting.
Unstoppable Unicorns. I got that the other day. That's really cool. Can't be creatures. Anyways, we don't need to look into that.
Well, we do, but we can stop recording.
You're writing your own, if we're just talking right now, writing your own
I've designed
system,
a game and
game
world.
And system.
Yeah.
You
You're going to start to play in it.
Too. Yeah, I'm going to start to play in it. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell these people like kind of the premise of it?
Oh, man.
Just tell them you're so embarrassed right now. You just like stepped in your tracks.
You're like, oh God, I thought I was talking about mouse guard.
You went from bushwhack to
I don't know.
No, but you're very proud of it.
I am very proud of it. I've been working very hard on
it. I asked you questions today and I was like, is it gonna have this? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's dope. Because you mentioned one of the mechanics. You mentioned the mechanic of, can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you mentioned the mechanic of Destiny and
Desire,
yeah.
So the whole idea is built off of a wave, the way a wave functions and the way a wave oscillates.
Yeah.
And within this game construct and within this world, we are all have a life wave to us. And the life wave is something that has kind of bent and turned over time between desire, what we want it to happen, and destiny, what is happening or what the world makes happen to
us. So when someone rolls,
you're rolling your wave, and you're rolling whether or not you and your desires have control over the situation or destiny has taken control.
And I ask the question, are there going to be people that are more in tuned with destiny? And you were like, yes. And I was like, that's fucking baller as shit. Like, I love that idea. I love the idea of just like, you know, there is a written, you know, it's such a great and creative way to handle both destiny and free will. Cause I feel like those are subjects that are done in movies and books that are done poorly. You know, you watch a movie like Mr. Baseball or Mr. Destiny.
Mr. Baseball.
Mr. Destiny.
Deep cuts. We're talking about deep cuts.
Mr. Destiny. Mr. Destiny. Or even Back to the Future. And how they handle it is like, oh, well, you start to disappear slowly. Or, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Destiny didn't take its course or whatever. But they handle it in terms of time travel, but no one really handles destiny in the present moment, right?
Right.
Because I think cinematically, you have to show the big picture, the result, you know what I mean? So I think you came up with a great way to present destiny in the present time, how it can be played with, and how it could be moved. I thought that was great.
Oh, thanks.
I thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, the big thing that unlocked the system for me, because I've started test playing it, was asking your players not only what they want to happen, but why.
Yeah.
And I think the why is a really key part, especially because I'm trying to design a game that combat can exist, but combat isn't the core thing behind it. I love D&D. I will love it till I die. But it is a combat system at the end of the day. Everything is based around that D20, whether or not it hits or misses. It can hit on an intrigue or it can miss on that, but that's still a very combat-y way of addressing, you know, the idea of deceit.
Yeah.
Deceit doesn't really work that way. It works in degrees. And what is your desired outcome? That should impact the results of the role, right?
Do you have anything with... I'm like fucking interviewing you or some shit. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, this is the first time we've actually talked about it, like really talked about it. Do you have anything built in there where it starts to roll? Like destiny starts to compound on itself?
Oh.
Is it really?
Oh man, you're unlocking my favorite part of the game.
That sounds awesome already. Because that's where I automatically start to think of.
Right.
Like,
well, you catch a hot streak.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it seems like you're not on a hot streak.
So you're literally on a wave. Like,
yes.
You're on a wave.
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, and so there's ways in which you, if you're rolling especially well, can get yourself additional points in desire. And then if you're rolling especially bad, destiny takes a hold. Because I kind of look at it this way. There's days you just have a bad day.
Yeah.
And you're tripping and you're late and whatever.
Let me ask you this.
And that can happen in this game. It can snowball in directions.
So it's snowballing. So let's say your adversary or whatever, you're going after someone or there's someone, whatever, that's also rolling against you or something like that. Maybe not an actual player, but an NPC or something like that. Are they getting a benefit from your bad?
Yes.
Are they really?
Yes.
Damn, dude, you thought of everything on this.
Yeah. So, dude, I've been writing it pretty hard.
So the wave, you're on the low end of the wave of the bell. And they're on the high end of their bell.
The DM, and this comes back to something we've talked about a lot, where the DM's not God, they're gravity, right?
Sure.
The DM controls destiny within this.
Okay.
Because it also, like, as someone who's frequently a DM, I wanted a mechanic to play. I wanted a way to play as well.
Yeah.
Not just, like, dictate or talk, but be able to, like, have a thing to manage and play along with everybody else. So basically, if you get, you're rolling.
Yeah.
If you get the worst roll, you give a destiny chip to the DM. If you get the best roll, you gain a desire chip.
So
think of it that way. It's that you can use later or that the DM can use later.
So it's irrefutable. Irrefutable. How do you say
it? I don't know what word you're looking
to
for.
Refute. Irrefutable. You can't refute it. It happened.
It happened.
It happened. So yes. Like people who are like, oh, you're fudging the numbers or DM or something like that. You're a DM and you're actually playing. Like you're not a GM and you're actually playing.
Yes.
Like with it, because you're getting their,
yeah.
You're sucking up their badness.
Mm-hmm. You're playing Destiny.
I like that.
Yeah. It's been pretty fun so far. Again, it's only been up on its feet 3 times.
Yeah.
And every time I've learned a lot. At first it was a D20 system where I used multiple D20s to try to make stuff happen. And the math got literally everybody at the table. And this includes my brothers who are like power gamers. We are all looking at each other. Going like, wait, why am I rolling? What? And I was like, okay, this math is too hard. So now it's a multiple D6 system, which I think works a lot better.
Yeah, cleaner.
Cleaner, it's easier. But I really don't want it to become a one-shot system. I want it to feel very campaign-y. Like you could build a lot within it. And a lot of times D6 systems feel very limited in scope. Like it's very fun to play for 3 or 4 hours and then you're done with the game.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of experimentation going on there. I've, of course, pulled from a lot of games that I really love, as well as a lot of my own ideas and limitations that I felt in those games as well. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Enough about me.
Yeah.
Carlos, you're doing some amazing stuff as well.
Am I?
I think so. I just came in here and you had a whole video rig set up.
Yeah. If you guys are listening to this, I'm going to start putting out YouTube videos. Just kind of, what would you say? Kind of tips, I guess.
Yeah.
Just kind of through the lens, how I see role playing, the more role playing aspect of it. I don't want to, I'm probably not going to get into the more crunchy numbers and stuff like that, but just
save that for me.
Yeah. Save that. Yeah. Save that for a bunch of people. I mean, they do it a million times better than I can. I'm constantly asking questions at the table. But yeah, I mean, today I did a YouTube video. My first one. I did my first one. It's NPCs quick that stick. So how to create an NPC very quickly that has some longevity that you can use in a game. So that's my new project. I've been doing those. I'm trying to make a bunch of those videos. I'm going to start putting those out. Hopefully weekly, I'll be putting them out.
That's awesome.
I'm also doing Rivals. Rivals of Waterdeep. If you got, yeah, that's the thing. People listen to this podcast and don't follow us on social media. So they might not know any of this stuff. Rivals of Waterdeep.
It's awesome.
Check
it
out.
I'm loving it.
It's on the D&D Twitch channel. You can find us on YouTube too. I'm the DM, guys. Me, Carlos, the DM.
why do you say it like that?
I don't know. It's just, it's weird. It's weird every time.
No, you've been doing a great job, man.
Oh, thank you so much.
I like to think I inspired you and everything you know you learned from me.
Kinda though.
What?
Right? I mean, kinda.
I meant that like
my first game was with you. I've had my longest campaign with you as a DM. There's a lot of things that I'm sure are built in to, you know, from
just
you.
Just the general sense of enthusiasm. Otherwise, it's all you, man.
Yeah,
and you're doing great.
I don't know. I do take it a little. I do a lot. I'm trying to find my own voice in it. Mm-hmm. And that's very strange, but yeah, I do like cinematic stuff. I think that's my thing.
Yeah,
I think that's my thing, guys.
Yeah, that's a move I don't make.
It's just cinema,
because I hate it.
No, I love it. I love it. I love that. That's one of my favorite things, guys. If you watch Rivals, go ahead and skip to episode 11. Halfway through, a character. That's a tiefling. His name is Robbie Jelly Mint. It's obviously Gilf. he is inside that. He's in that episode. Also, again, if you're not on social media, you might have missed. I did an episode of God, what was it? It was for the new Dragon Heist book for D&D.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I did an episode with Dungeon Drunks and Adel Rafai from Hello from the Magic Tavern. Mm. That's on.
Love that podcast.
Yeah.
We've made several references to it on
yeah,
Dungeon
yeah,
Rats.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
We should talk about this stuff on the podcast.
I know. Well, you know, we've talked about this before, but we're really bad at being personal.
We are. We're very bad. We're probably around the 40-minute mark on this on this 3-minute, like...
Yeah, this thing. Is meant to be nothing. Yeah, we're, like as far as length goes.
Whatever. Yeah, we're really bad. I think so. I'm going to say it. I think we need a place to talk about us, just like on the podcast. I think people want to know those things.
Like as people?
As human beings, yeah.
I realized the other day, in all of these episodes, the only times you hear me being myself is when I'm reacting.
Yeah.
I never get to like I'm in the character at the beginning, intro mm-hmm. in the show. I'm playing, you know, the part of the DM the whole time. Even when I'm reacting, I'm kind of in the DM range. The only time you get to really hear me be me is like me laughing at something I think is funny yeah. or interesting.
Well, the only time we're actually, I mean, if you listen to Dungeon Rats, I would say 85% of the show is in character, and then there's 15% where we're just making fun of each other's jokes. Like that's yeah. all the show was, just like making fun of these funny moments. But I think there's a place for us talking. I mean, that was what was fun about is fun about the Patreon. Guys, if you donate to the Patreon, you get to hear behind the scenes episodes where we just kind of vamp and talk about mm-hmm. what we saw in these episodes and how, what we thought of. I think we should do more of that.
Kind of like these.
Yeah, like kind of like these. Like this was fun. This is fun. We didn't have to do anything. We kind of just sat down. Guys, if you made it this long, bravo. You're yeah. the real heroes.
Really?
Stop calling us heroes. I don't think no
Who's
one's
calling you a hero.
No one's ever called me a hero.
I know I'm not being called a hero.
But yeah, season 3, Dungeon Rats.
It's coming.
It's gonna be awesome.
I'm excited.
We have our first game this Saturday.
Yeah.
Game 0.
Yeah, Game 0. We're gonna stretch our legs, see how it all feels, see how the world feels. I'm really excited. I've been writing like crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Carlos, but for me, when I like, it takes me probably a week and a half of putzing around writing bad stuff. And then one day I'm like, bam, this is what's happening. And I can just, it drops and I can get like so much and I can just sit there and write for hours. The only thing limiting me is the amount of time I have to get the ideas.
Really?
Out. Yeah. It's weird, dude.
I can't do that.
But I have to like sit and think about it for weeks, probably two.
I'll give you that. I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, okay, I'm just running through if this, then that type stuff.
Right.
Like if this, then that, if this, and then I'll start building blocks and building it together and building it. And then it really comes to, for me, I have a bunch of ideas and a bunch of areas. So it's what do I want to load my basket up with today for today's episode. So I have enough there where I could be like, okay, well, I can load it up with this thing and I can load it up with that thing that I have planned. So like this NPC is there, this building is there, that thing's there, they can run into this and that, and that'll show more of the world. This will show more of the world. But I don't know if I can write like that. I don't know if I can write like you write where only time stops me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I sit down and I'm like, I'm gonna write this week's episode, and that's how I'll do it. I have a bunch of stuff in mind, but I can't focus. There's just, I get inspired too much by how they're playing. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree.
I get inspired.
Well, that's why a lot of stuff I end up throwing away.
Yeah, that would frustrate the hell out of me.
Oh, it doesn't me though, because it's, again, it's time, so I have to limit myself.
Yeah,
where I'll go, all right, I'll write for 3 hours. Once it's falling out, like again, it's hard. It's hard to like crack the nut.
Okay, and here's the thing though. Here's the difference though. Okay, I just figured out why it's different for me is because you have the luxury of writing lore, and I'm stuck in Waterdeep right now.
Oh,
that's the problem.
Yeah,
because like you get to develop an entire ecosystem, an entire world, and I have to play with constraints of 30 years of, you know, 40 years of Dungeons and Dragons, of like, you know,
yeah, that's illusion, a big difference.
Yeah, Forgotten Realms and all that stuff.
The only lore I have to adhere to is the stuff that's already been said or established.
Yeah.
So I could have written it and then someone says something smarter. I'm like, that's lore now, baby.
That's the new one.
I'm not dealing with my bullshit.
Mine is like, did that happen in Waterdeep? Mine's like, oh, yeah, what exactly that's a lot is harder. There? It's way, and dude, and it's on the D&D channel. So I'm scared all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just in.
Oh, see, that's why.
I'm scared of people just coming. Honestly, no one's ever come at me.
Like, no. And
no one has ever come at me on the channel. But I'm afraid for that day when I'm just like, and it works like this. And then someone's like, well, actually, I'm page 185 of the. And sure. I'm like, oh my God. You know,
I'm such an idiot.
Hey, I'm such a Chris Perkins is calling me right away. He's like,
well, that's my problem with those adventures, though.
Yeah,
is there's too much to remember, and like you have to be that kind of DM to really love that part of it. I love remembering what my players did more so remembering what a book says.
Yeah,
and so like, yeah, that's a lot different because. And all of these things, especially the stuff we record, I very, very rarely use any sort of pre-generated material.
Yeah. And that sounds so fun. Like, it sounds so fun just to start from scratch and be like, okay, you're here. This is how this section works. This is how that section works. And this is why. And this is a road at this part of the section, but it used to be awesome in this time and like all that stuff. Like, all that sounds great. I can't do that.
My favorite thing about all that is not telling you that information until it's necessary.
Oh.
I love it. I don't know what it is. I think it's the whole idea of like, and we should probably stop recording at some point.
Yeah.
But it's the whole idea of when I don't know the history of Chicago when I walk into Chicago. Oh, I don't go to Lakefront and suddenly know what the Lakefront was like 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. Yeah. I have to go find a book.
Yeah.
And study the lakefront.
Well, you also can't start a podcast on the lakefront if you haven't checked out those books before.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because someone's going to be like, that's not what happened. Like, how are you saying that? Is,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then the orcs came to Lakeshore Drive. It's like, no.
Yeah. But you don't know how the lakefront started.
Well,
within the D&D world, within a fantasy world, most people don't. And you don't walk up and it's not like right away you walk up and there's this like benevolent voice coming over you being like, the lakefront in Chicago started because people needed a way to trade their crops. That's why Merchandise Mart is so big.
Yeah.
Like that is real. That is really what happened. But you need to give your players like a really fun way to discover that. I mean, that's pretty mundane and lame.
No.
But my point is like within the world and the lore you're building, you kind of like that's the fun part is like giving them the way to start discovering those pieces.
Yeah.
In a really like
cool
thing that
teacher.
Makes it feel.
You're a cool teacher.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Hey guys, check this out. Check out
this
rap.
Three dimensional. Yeah. But makes it feel real. The same way you discover the world around you. You want to do that in world building as well. That's what I'm very excited about in season 3.
Yeah. That teacher bit that I just did reminds me, I raised a bunch of money and got a bunch of donations for this. Dude, one day I just logged into Facebook. I haven't logged into Facebook in forever. And my best friend's, my friend.
I was going to say
my best friend's wife, but like she's my friend too. So
I'm
like,
still very upset.
Shut up. She had posted on my Facebook.
I'm over here. I in your mouse guard.
She's like, she posts this, this like GoFundMe page, of this teacher in Chicago that in Lakeview that is trying to, raise money for, his classroom to start their own podcast, to start their own actual play podcast. I was just like, hey, I'm going to help this guy raise some money. So I put it on Twitter. I got retweeted, went a long way. It got funded instantly. And then people just started donating stuff. So people started sending stuff to my house and I met up with this one guy. He he was awesome. He gave me all his old podcasting equipment. I sent a message to D&D. Greg Tito sent me like a huge box of a ton of stuff from D&D, like player's handbooks, like a bunch of dice bags for the kids. I dropped it off. I don't even think I've told you. Well, you might have seen the post on
it. I saw the video.
Yeah. I went to go meet up with the teacher.
I retweeted the video, so I feel like I deserve a little credit.
You and 500 people.
We all deserve a little credit. Same amount, probably.
I was not expecting. So we're trying to raise money for this teacher for his classroom with underprivileged kids. Like
kids. It's awesome.
Yeah, these kids don't have much, and he just wanted them to be able to play Dungeons and Dragons. This guy, so first of all, it's not just his class, it's all of his classes, and it's not just an after school thing, it's a thing that he does during the class. He has 70 kids in one world, 70 kids playing 70 different characters, all inhabiting the same campaign. On top of that, they inherited the campaign from the class that graduated the year before.
That's awesome.
From the sixth graders.
Oh, how
from
great. Before.
So those kids become NPCs when they go into seventh grade, and the new sixth graders start the same world. Dude, so they get split up into like groups of five. Every group of five also has their own scribe that like writes down the notes of what happened to, you know, that particular party at that time. They run into each other in world. And when that happens, he has to like call them up from their desks to like go play with the other kids that are playing. And this is during like reading or creative writing time that's happening. So during creative writing time, they'll be, you know, writing whatever. And then five kids will go up and he'll play the game with them and all that. And they're, his class is structured in a way that if you want to level up in game, the XP is done in class. So he tracks it by like your behavior in class. He tracks it with, yeah, your real world behavior, your real world grades, level up your character in game.
That's awesome, man.
And it's so balanced too. So like you would think, oh, well, then the straight A kids have to be getting the most powerful. You know what I mean? No, it's done with behavior. It's done with kindness. It's done with being a good human being. You know what I mean? Like the guy, I spent maybe like 2 hours with the guy. He went through like three binders of just like art that the kids do in class of their characters, maps that they draw. And it was just, It put this in focus for me.
Sure.
Like completely when I saw it and I was like, there's so much joy in this game. It's too amazing to just like lock yourself in to a game that you're not happy with. You know what I mean? These kids are, there's 70 kids playing and there's one guy running it. And there's no reason I can't be having that type of fun too. So I don't know. It made me feel really good.
About the entire thing. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's coordinated that many kids.
The guy is, I mean, he's
That's impressive.
So impressive. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I was just, and he's not only doing this, but like he's trying to take it a step further and to record the kids because they want to do it. So he got this recording equipment and he's like, man, this is going to be so great. They can do their book reports like this. So he's already thinking of like how they can help
like broader education.
Help their public speaking and how they can like present their ideas to like, he knows that the entire world is working like this. And he's trying to show these kids like, this could be you. You could be doing this. There's no reason why someone else should have this chance and not you. I don't know. I could talk about this guy for forever. Mr. Greenlee in Lakeview, if you're listening to this, you're awesome.
I agree. Can I come play in your campaign?
Yeah. I mean,
if you're listening, I'm always looking to be a player.
They'll have to buzz you in at the front desk. Anyways, we've talked for a very long time.
We have.
Guys, thank you for listening. Thanks for hanging on and listening to us rant the entire time. We're super excited for this next chapter. Hopefully you guys are excited too. We just wanted to clear the air and talk about everything that was going on.
Yeah, and I think we should do this more often, Carlos.
I think so, too.
Sit down and chat.
Yeah.
Throw it on the feed.
Yeah.
And if you hate it, listener, well...
Skip it. Just skip it.
This is us.
Yeah, just skip it. Just, yeah, hit the button. Just be like, it's a Pat and Carlos episode.
These guys are boring.
But so attractive.
Pat in his hat and Carlos with his hair.
This is where the music plays.
They're embarrassing themselves.
Okay, we're out of here, guys. We'll see you soon.